Peace be unto you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from John chapter 13. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. This is the text. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. In our gospel reading today, Jesus tells us that we as Christians have a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. It would be easy to take these words of Jesus and turn it into some sort of proverb of moralism. And we could have a lesson today on the how-tos of Christian living. We could set up guidelines establishing exactly what we must do in order to fulfill Christ's new commandment to love one another. We could do this, but if we did, we would be missing the whole point of the gospel. The voice of righteousness through faith does not say, if you do this, then you will be right with God. But rather, it echoes the words of Christ and says, it is finished, and I have made all things new. The gospel begins, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. This glory that both Christ and the Father are to receive does not come from any good works or acts of love or charity that you and I show toward one another. God is not made more glorious by what we do. These words were spoken immediately after Judas had left the upper room so that he could go and betray Jesus. The glorification of Christ is connected with an event that appears to everyone who witnessed it to be the very opposite of glory. Jesus is looking ahead to his death on the cross, to his passion, to the suffering that he will endure for the sins of the world. And as he looks forward to that, he speaks of the glory of God. God is glorified in the fulfillment of his promise to save his children from the guilt of their sin. When Christ died on the cross and rose again, the world became a different place. All of God's children, from Adam and Eve up through us, the world has been groaning and waiting in anticipation for the second Adam. All the Old Testament people were looking forward to the second Adam who would come and redeem the world from its slavery to sin. And we await the second Adam to return. And Jesus, as we heard in our epistle reading from Revelation, he is going to make all things new. He has made all things new in his crucifixion and resurrection, and ultimately he will make all things new as he brings in the new heaven and the new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth shall pass away. And we are the beneficiaries of this great promise. God has fulfilled his promises. He did it on Easter weekend. He will do it again. And during this Easter season, we continue to celebrate that God makes all things new. And we praise God that we do not have to go where Jesus went, that we do not have to suffer and die on the cross, especially because the spilling of our blood would do nothing to redeem us from our slavery to sin. Our sins are forgiven only because the Christ the Son of God, had his blood spilled, just as God had promised to Adam and throughout the Old Testament. Today we gather as recipients of this forgiveness. Without the real blood of Jesus shed on the cross, the word of God that we gather to hear, the promises made in our baptism, the flesh and blood of Christ in the sacrament, would be of no consequence if the real blood of Christ had not been spilled. And all of human history revolves around and is focused on Christ's cross and tomb. Therefore, we join with all generations pondering how these events affect our lives. What must be done in order for us to receive the blessings that God offers? Well, once again, this is not the how-tos of Christian living. It's not about me and what I do. Our sinful self always wants to make it about me. Our sinful self always wants to hear Christ's words of grace and promise and turn it into something that we can do to save ourselves, because we love to save ourselves. When Christ speaks of this new commandment, English does not do a very good job in bringing the meaning of his words to the hearers. This is the only time that John records Christ using the word new. John is telling us that this is something really important. Now he records Christ using those words in other books like Revelation, "I am making all things new." But the word we translate commandment is rarely used in the Gospels. John uses it a few times. Mark and Luke don't use it at all. Matthew uses it once. And it doesn't really have a, you know, Moses commandment kind of feel to it. Really, the word is more regarding, you know, keeping God's word so that the disciples can go out and proclaim it as a new commission, that they are commissioned to carry out a new message. That's the way Matthew uses it. And if you read John, and keep reading in John's gospel, that's the way he uses it too. Because if you read it as a Moses commandment type of word, when you get into John chapters 14 through 17, you'll be really confused if that's the way you take it. Jesus says, "Now is the Son of Man glorified." Where? In the crucifixion, in his passion. What is about to unfold, because Judas has just left the room. And he says, "Where I am going, you cannot come." Namely, to the cross and then a descent into hell to proclaim victory over death and Satan. Jesus does not endure the nails of the cross. He does not shed his blood so that he can now instruct his disciples to go and live morally virtuous lives and be right with God by loving your neighbor. This new commandment, love one another. If that was what he intended to be the new commandment, then, well, he would have joined with the Pharisees if that was his message. There would be no need for the cross if that is what he was talking about here. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." If this was about keeping the law and having love for your neighbor in a Ten Commandments kind of way, that would, first of all, not really be a new command. I mean, after all, love your neighbor as yourself is something that is very Old Testament. And again, there would be no need for the cross. What is new is the glorification of God in the dying and rising of the Son of Man. And now Jesus commissions the disciples to carry this new truth and to go out and show love for one another so that all people will know that you are my disciples. And how does Jesus define love to his disciples? Here in the upper room, later on, as you read in John's gospel, Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends." Read John chapters 14 through 17. Hear how love and commandment are used. This is not about doing God's will by being better neighbors. The Holy Spirit certainly inspiring us to love our neighbor, I mean, it is the fruit of the gospel. It's a very good thing, don't get me wrong. But Jesus' new commandment, this is about the gospel. And his disciples would carry this new truth to the ends of the earth. And they would lay down their lives for the sake of the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ must be proclaimed, even if it means I will suffer. Just as I have loved you, Jesus says, you also are to love one another. Just as Jesus suffers and dies so that the disciples can have the gospel and live forever in his eternal kingdom, so also you, he says to the 11, will suffer. They will hate you because they hated me first, he tells them there in the upper room. And you will suffer, and 10 of the 11 will die at the hands of those who hate Christ, so that all people will have the gospel, and they will know that you are my disciples because you confess the cross and the empty tomb, because you confess this new truth. This is what sets us apart from the rest of the world. No one can look at you and see if you are baptized. No one can look into your heart and see if you truly believe in God. No one can look at you and know that you are forgiven. Jesus tells us the only way that people can know that we are Christians is through what we confess with our mouths and by observing the way that we treat one another. I mean, John does, in his first epistle, say that anyone who says they love God but hates their brother is a liar. There is a need for, good works and Ten Commandments kind of action. Because if there is no difference between the way that we speak and the way that we act, if there's no difference between that and the way that people outside of the church speak and act, then the message of the cross and the message of the empty tomb will never be heard. What you have is the promise of a crucified and risen Lord and Savior. Jesus says, love one another and boldly confess, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.